Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, it's been a minute, and I'm so glad that you stopped by for this episode of the Lather Talk podcast. The guest for this episode is Jared from The Thirsty Badger. You might know The Thirsty Badger as a wet shaving blog or place to find shaving bowls, mugs, and brush soakers. We have a great conversation with Jared and get to pick his brain a bit as both an artisan and fellow wet shaving hobbyist. Just a heads up that we did run into a few minor technical difficulties, so those of you watching the video version of this episode may notice the video going out of sync with the audio. I do apologize for that inconvenience, and thank you guys for bearing with us. And lastly, with a little housekeeping, we have two episodes left for Season 2 of Lather Talk, and then Gerard and I will be going on a short break for the summer season. It's hard to believe that we're just about halfway through 2021, and we just really want to thank you guys for your continued support. We hope you guys enjoy today's episode. Now cue the theme music. Hey guys, welcome back to Lather Talk. So glad for you to tune in. I'm your host, John, aka Lather Hog. With me is my co-host, Gerard. Hey Gerard, how's it going?
Hey, what's up everyone?
And in our third chair today, we have a very special guest all the way from Canada. You may know him from his fantastic shaving bowls and other shaving wares. He also has a fantastic blog and a comprehensive list of fragrance dupes in shave soap format. None other than Thirsty Badger. Jared, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Hey.
So we have Jared on today as both a to give us kind of some perspective as an artisan, but also as a shaving enthusiast. Jared with us in the Lather Talk Discord. Right now is a quick plug for you. The Lather Talk Discord is a great place, a little community we got of wet shavers. It's just another option. You might be on Facebook, you might be on Reddit, you might be in one of the forums. If you like the show, if you like interacting with Gerard and myself and just other kind of like-minded people, we'd love to have you join us over in the Discord. But that's where we talk to this guy, Jared, kind of all the time about all sorts of stuff. So we're so happy to have you, Jared. Maybe we should just start from the beginning. So how did you get into the artisan side of things as far as shaving goes?
Yeah, it happened pretty quick. I started wet shaving, I guess it would be kind of summer of 2017. I've kind of always been into that like old school kind of like how grandpa used to do it. I like the tie back to the history stuff. There was a guy in town that used to run, like it was a mobile shave company. So you could like phone him up and he would bring you your shave stuff to your door. And he was also offering a intro to wet shaving class. So I went to one of his classes and I picked up an intro set and I started shaving and I was really into it. And, but I didn't really know how deep the hobby went. But at the time my wife, she does pottery. And I said, well, can you make me a lather bowl so I can build my lathers in a bowl, like some of the ones I'd seen that the guy was selling at the time. And so she made me a couple and, I said, well, I really like this. And I kind of ended up falling into a Canadian shave group at the time. And so I ended up posting what I had and there was a bunch of guys that had some interest. And so I said, well, I don't really want to sell them because I'm not sure if this is going to be something you like. So for the first kind of month or so, I started just trading some stuff off, right? And the guys would send me a soap set and I would send them a lather bowl. And kind of that's how I built up my initial shaving den with a bunch of different shave soaps and stuff. And it's how I kind of learned about what would make a good lather bowl. And at the same time, I'm a web guy and IT guy by trade. And so I wanted to set up a website to start blogging about my experiences with different shave products and stuff. And it kind of just from there kind of spun up organically where I'm like, well, you know, let's sell some of these lather bowls and maybe we can pay for my wife's pottery habit or hobby, however you want to say. Mm-hmm, and I said, it would also give me a spot where I could start writing down my thoughts and share what I'm enjoying about the shave hobby. And as I kept getting deeper into the hobby, I found more and more stuff out. And that's when we started, you know, really ramping up the bowls, and it just kind of spun up from there.
That's awesome. And I think we connected originally to Jared a while back on the software side of things. Would you say, like, as far as which part of, you know, of shaving that really might send you down the, you know, collector side of things or down the rabbit hole? Would you say like software, or like, what would you include as kind of your main draws?
So I'm heavy into the software side of things. I'm also kind of that OCD that has to be matchy-matchy. So every time I get a soap, I get an aftershave. So I've got lots of matching sets. That's kind of my passion. I don't get to wear fragrances to work. We're a kind of a scent-free workplace. So it's an opportunity for me to enjoy the scent of a shave, but then not carry that as a fragrance all day. It can kind of be gone by the time I've commuted all the way to my office. So that's definitely where I've got the most stuff, but I also really like the history side. So I've got, you know, some vintage razors and stuff. I kind of went down a little bit of that rabbit hole, but now I've found what I really like and what works for me. And so I've kind of leveled off on the hardware. Brushes, I'm kind of the same. I have an assortment, but I've kind of got a good base now of what I like and what works for me. So I haven't been adding a ton of brushes either.
One thing too that, so this is something that you have shared, I feel like kind of as you've tweaked and changed things, is how you present your software. Because, you know, as we just talked about, it's kind of a big part as far as your engagement with shaving. And are you okay if we share an image of your current your current shave setup?
I'm lucky that I've got a space in my shaving den that's like a whole closet that is mine to use. And so I've got it fully shelved up with several rows of soaps and aftershaves, and everything is, I've got some 3D printed designs that kind of hold the soaps and aftershaves so you can see them all. So it almost looks like walking into a store and you actually can see everything in front of you. And part of the reason I really like that is I'm more inclined to use it if I can see it. So I try not to stack anything. I try to have everything mm-hmm. where I can see the labels. And also because I love the artwork of the packaging side of software.
But you also mentioned some of the 3D printed things that are kind of, they're very practical, but also they help with that, you know, that shaved end setup. Can you share a little bit more with it? Because I know, you know, that's kind of a little bit of a passion project of yours that you've shared too.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a geek that way. I've got a 3D printer, and so I'm not much into really like fancy looking things when it comes to 3D design, but I'm into function. So if I see a need, I play around and try and get something that will fill that need for a design. So as far as like my stands, I've just got a fairly rudimentary stand that you put it down and it allows you to prop the soap up on its side without it rolling around. I designed a 3D printed straight razor stand. So when you're wanting to do 3D or wanting to do your shave of the day photos, you can actually put your straight razor on that and it holds it up the right way. And I built a couple of travel designs for taking your shave gear with you so that you can keep your brushes safe, but they can still dry out and stuff. So I've done a few designs that way. And my thing about 3D design is I kind of want to share it with the world. So on my website where I've got them for purchase, I've also got the designs available. So anyone that has access to a 3D printer can just download them and print them themselves for free as well.
What led you to kind of create this very useful tool of just tracking all the many cologne dupes in the world of wet shaving? Because I mean, Jared and I have spoken that on this before, that if you're a new artist, new soap artisan and not sure what to do with scenting, if you've never done it before, a cologne dupe is a very, like, you know, it's a known factor, it's safe, and really a good place to start. So anyway, enough of me talking. Why don't we talk about cologne, about these frag dupes, Jared?
Sure. Yeah. I've always really liked the fragrance side of shaving. We talked about it earlier about how I don't get to wear fragrances to work. So it's kind of let me delve into the fragrance world without actually wearing fragrances on a regular basis. So I find it quite cool that I can go and buy shaving soaps that that smell like really high-end fragrances. The other thing, it kind of fits with my nature of like matchy-matchy, where I want the soap and I want the aftershave. And then if I buy the fragrance, I want the soap and the aftershave to match it, so I can kind of carry the three forward. So so I've always scent fragrance dupes are big. I'd say probably half to three quarters of my shaving software is a dupe of some sort. So what led me to start the list is I kind of was looking for that information. And I'd had a few occasions where I bought soaps and aftershaves from an online retailer. Packaging looked great. Scent notes sounded interesting. And then I got them home and I'm like, this smells exactly like another one that I already have. This kind of sucks when you're spending that much money and wait, you know, it takes you a couple weeks to get it in and you're looking forward to it and you open it up and like, I already have this. So, and it was Aventus. So that's probably why I'm kind of on Aventus dupes is there's so many of them. But it's also, sometimes people will say it's a pineapple birch scent. And sometimes they'll say it's like, you know, they'll be a little more vague. And sometimes they'll say, this is a straight up Aventus smelling soap. And so I kind of wanted to put something together so that that didn't happen to me. And it doesn't happen to other wet shavers so that they can kind of go back and say, geez, I want to buy this. And do I have something that already matches this? Or I really like this fragrance. I'd love to have a soap that smells the same way. And so it kind of started with that, not finding what I was looking for and finding like bits and pieces and different forms. And so I just thought, I'm going to just put all this together and put it in a common spot. And I'm just going to keep updating it as I find new stuff out. And I put some tools together so that people can submit. So if someone else finds something, they can send it to me as well. And I add it to the list, and it's just kind of grown from there. And it's probably my most popular page on the website. So it's also done some good things traffic wise. But I just love that it's something I kind of give back.
I was going to say, for those wondering, on the list, I'm looking at it right now and I counted, there are 29 known Aventus dupes in wet shaving.
Funny story is I've had now a couple artisans reach out to me and thank me for putting the list together, because they're putting together an offering and they don't know what every other artisan is doing, but they know they want to do a dupe, right? So I've got a couple times where I've had artisans say like, thanks, now I know what I can, like, here's how I can find something that nobody else is doing. And so I love that. That gives an opportunity to get some more cool scents into the hobby.
You mentioned Aventus before. So are you not down with Aventus, or is it more that because you kind of had unknowingly bought a duplicate, it kind of irked you?
It's just so played out. Like, everybody has an Aventus dupe. Like, it's, you see it everywhere, and it's a weird scent to me, because it's a nice scent, but it's also, it smells different even from Creed themselves. You can get three different batches of Aventus and they all smell different. Like, this is crazy, but it's super popular. I think every artisan that sells it would tell you it's top one, two, or three of their offering for sales. So it sells, it makes sense why they're doing it. But I just always cringe when I see like, hey, I'm doing another Aventus dupe. Yay. I like seeing when people bring something into space. So, yeah.
Right. I asked the previous question just in case you had to answer. Like, do you have a favorite Aventus dupe? Just because, like you said, there's so much variation with it. Whether it's like who's supplying the fragrance oil versus someone taking a stab at it themselves, trying to recreate that. Do you have a favorite?
I wouldn't say I have a favorite, but I have one in my collection. I've got Razor Rock Emperor, which, okay. I find it's that brighter, more pineapple side of things. But I've used, I think I've used six or seven different kinds that have kind of floated their way across my den, and they all kind of, they give you the same vibe. And I don't know. I haven't found a difference enough that like, oh, I need to buy it in this base. It's like, I've got one, it scratches that itch, and that's all I need.
Same question to you, Gerard. Do you have a favorite Aventus dupe of the ones you've tried?
Nope. I actually don't have a shaving soap dupe anymore. I had Executive Man. I gave it to my brother. I used it already, but I had a couple of bars of Executive Man, the bar soap. So, and it's nice. We had talked about it a few podcasts ago with Scott. You know, like, I think he said, if someone's new to your company, what is the thing you would recommend the most? And he's just like, Sellout, which is Aventus dupe, because it's just so, it's like just so safe. It's Scott mentioned it as being non-offensive.
Yeah.
And which is a big reason, right? Besides the fact that it's a very, very popular niche perfume and whatnot. But I also, it's kind of sad to say that, wet shaving has almost just cheapened it, in a sense. Because you had meant, Jared, you had mentioned like Razor Rock Emperor. I think a tub of that is like $7.99 American. it's so cheap and inexpensive. So, but yeah, that's probably it. Like, I'll probably get it again because I do enjoy it. As far as in the shower goes and whatnot. So, but I just have so much other stuff that I don't imagine myself, using it as a shave soap anytime soon. Mm.
Well, I will also vouch for Sellout from Declaration Grooming. I do quite enjoy the scent myself, and have had, like you guys were saying, various either samples or have owned a few different ones. I would say Sellout is one of my favorite. And then is it The Shaving Shop and Club, Peter Tarkalis, he has a variation on it. So there's so many different terms, right, for inspired by, or no one ever says it's a, this is a dupe of this, but I'm blanking on other
homage.
Homage.
Or their take on, we had quite a rousing discussion about the words take on something when it came to the Discord channel. Yeah. And
that's true.
Always an interesting discussion when we get into fragrance dupes is about companies that are doing original fragrances versus the ones that are doing dupes and, what's the difference. And, certain people feel a certain way about dupes that they're kind of less than. And then there's people that are kind of on the side of, I love dupes, because they're consistent and I know what I'm getting. I kind of have my thoughts on that. Like I know, I think soap makers, sometimes will go down the lane of, I want to just purely do my own scents and I don't want to do fragrance dupes, and that's okay. It's just fragrancing is really hard. And I would never look down on an artisan that pulls a fragrance dupe off the shelf and does that in their scent, because they're really good at making soap, right? So that they bring a lot to the table. And if they're struggling to make a fragrance on their own, I don't think that should exclude them from bringing an awesome product to the market. So, and likewise, there's a lot of fragrance makers that make great fragrances and couldn't make a soap to save their life. And so they have to partner with someone to make the soap for them. So I kind of like, as a customer, I just want something that, looks good, performs well, smells nice, all those things. And, if an artist is doing part of it and not both of it, I can get down with that. And in the rare occasion, you find a soap maker that does both really well. That's cool too. Like I'm down with those companies and I like that they bring something original to the hobby.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lively topic of debate, discussion, as you mentioned, and it's safe. Just starting off this part of the conversation, it's a known commodity, and I agree with you, Jared, in that it shouldn't be poo-pooed, because if you just want to try, let's say, if you're more into the actual soap base itself, then you and less so about the fragrance, that is something that you already know what to expect. And just the fact that doing original fragrances, more power to all the artisans, learning that craft. It's a whole other set, skill set, and it's really, really subjective.
Yeah, and it's the other thing about fragrance dupes that I kind of go back to is that being safe is there's not a lot of spots you can go that brick and mortar. You can walk in and pick up a real nice artisan shave soap and smell it and know what it's going to smell like. You're kind of flying blind on scents. So when it comes to fragrance dupes, there's a kind of a reference point, right? So you either know that it's like, well, this is, I like this house. I've got a couple of Creed fragrances already in my collection. So I know what kind of quality they bring for scent wise. So it's these soaps mm-hmm. will be a safe buy for me. Or it's just, you can go down to your local fragrance store that there's a lot more of, and you can get a sample of many different kinds of fragrances and say, oh, I like this fragrance. I'll buy a soap that matches that. So, you just don't get the opportunity to walk into a brick and mortar and smell a soap like you can a fragrance.
Right, right. The whole blind buy aspect, right, of making these purchases. It is really such a shame that I understand from the business standpoint to actually have a brick and mortar shop. I mean, I think just the fact that we have a number of online vendors to choose from, that's at least, it's like a small consolation. But what's your feeling on samples, Jared?
When I first started into the hobby, I was all about the samples. I had a tub of samples and I had a collection of, like, here's how I'm going to put labels on all my samples. And I've kind of gone away from that. Now I try to not have more than like two or three samples on hand at any time. Just because I don't think you sample necessarily shows the product in the best light at times, especially if it's sat around for a while. So if someone sends you a sample and it's, you know, fresh out of a tub or something and you use it in the first week, you're going to get a pretty close experience. But if you haven't touched that sample and it's sat in your back of your closet with a bunch of other samples for a month, you can start to get scent contamination. The sample can dry out a little bit. So your performance is different. So I was huge into it for a while, and now I'm kind of, if someone offers to send me a sample, unless it's something I really want and I'm going to try it as soon as I get it, I kind of politely decline, say, you know, thanks for the offer. I love it. I love the offer, but I can't take them because I can't, you know, get through them all. And I think it's a little bit disrespectful when you take a bunch of samples from someone and then you don't actually use them right away. So I'm not huge on samples. Having said that, if anyone ever asks me to have a sample of my soap, have at her. I'm more than happy to give someone. I have enough soap.
I have a stupid amount of samples that have gone unused, like Jared said, and it's not even contaminated. They are all in the jacuzzi, the little basket together right now, and they're probably all just turning into just like this bad mixture of 7-layer bean dip that's just becoming slop. I'm positive right now that, with that said, when I decide that I actually, you know, like, want to use a sample, no, it's really, it's nice. You know, and in terms of what I've been doing, like, lately, I've been committing on using a soap a week, right? Rather than just changing it up every day, because I want to actually go through the products that I have, full tub wise, at least. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stops the samples, because, you know, if I want to shave with something else on the weekends, then I can do so. But that's probably what I need to do, is commit myself to just going through those samples every weekend or so, you know, and whatnot. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, I think that I don't see the point in just like hoarding samples. Like, if you get it, you should probably use it right away, just so that you can, you know, confirm with yourself, do I want to buy a tub of this or not?
Yeah, I have a great sample story. Is I got a sample of Panda, which is a zoologist
in Chisel Face.
Yeah, and I got a sample of this, and I didn't use it right away, and I put it in with my sample drawer. And then when I went to pull out another sample of something that I really had been waiting to try, it smelled like panda. And so then I grabbed another sample and it smelled like panda. And I grabbed another sample and it smelled like panda. Everything in my drawer smelled like panda. And so it was kind of that day that it said, yeah, I'm not going to do the sample thing anymore unless it comes in and I'm going to use it within the week I get it.
John did this to me like probably over a year ago. He sent me a sample of Barrister and Man's Amazel Nut. And I think he sent it with three other samples and all of them smelled like Amazel Nut. So.
Oh no. now that you mentioned it.
At least with Amazel Nut, the name kind of describes what it is. So if you like tried all those samples and said, oh, I like this scent, you know which one it is. I've had another artisan that sent me a bunch of samples and one of the samples I loved, but I didn't know which sample matched the scent that I loved because they all kind of smelled like that. So I ended up having to like try multiple soaps to try and pinpoint the one that was the scent that I really liked.
Oh man. that does, I don't know, this coming to light makes me second guess like how do you ship them, because I know when I used to buy more samples, especially like Maggard's has like in the little plastic, obviously that does a better job, right? It's keeping everything separate. It can still get old if I never get to it, so whatever. But for folks at home, try to keep, and you do buy those little tubs, keep them, or you know, in Amazon you can buy or whatever your local store is, I don't know, local container store, you might be able to get the little containers. It's easy to ship too. I feel like it protects everything a little bit better, but yeah, cross contamination. That's who knew.
Well, when it comes to any of those samples, the ones that you talk about from Maggard's and the little contact lens case, I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it.
I use the whole thing when I'm going to lather it. I don't, you know, I just scoop the whole freaking thing and just like overload it, my brush, whatever I'm going to lather with. So, and that's probably what I would encourage people to do. Don't be stingy and just like take half of that, you know, 10 gram, you know, whatever, you know, blob, you know, use the whole thing. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, because people are just like, well, I don't know if I'm, maybe I want to use it. Like, I'll use the whole thing, because your lather is probably just going to be garbage if you use half of it anyway. It's not going to be loaded properly.
Well, so, with the exception of Sterling, don't do that with Sterling samples.
Sterling doesn't have samples. It's quarter pucks.
Yeah.
It's a 20% puck of their pucks. So.
Yeah, we can't talk samples without mentioning Sterling, because they have by far the best sample game out there. I love their samples, because you get a full, it's a 1 ounce, pretty much a 1 ounce thing of soap.
Yeah, like 20% of what, because their normal soaps are 5.7, 5.8 ounces.
Yeah.
Like that. So, oh, yeah. They are the exception and not the rule, though, in general.
We talked a lot about fragrances, but as far as soap bases, Jared, is that something like do you primarily focus on the fragrance side of things, or would you say when there's like a new soap base version or something that there's that the community is you know, like kind of there's a lot of buzz on, does that draw you in at all?
I don't chase the base anymore. I was big into that when I first started, but I've found that I can get a good shave with almost any kind of soap. I won't say all soaps, because some are definitely different, and you won't get a great shave. But the majority of the ones that I spend money on are from like reputable artisans and stuff. You're going to get a good performing soap. I do like to talk about everybody. You know, the common metrics people talk about is the slickness and the cushion and the post shave. For me, one of the important things when I talk about a base is how easy it is to work with, because I think a lot of these new bases are a little trickier to dial in to try and get that water content the right amount. And so I also like to really talk about that how easy it is to get a good lather with the soap. So yeah, that's some of the things I talk about. But as far as chasing the newest base, I don't get as hyped up as some people do. And if they want to, you know, chase the base, that's great. There's something in this hobby for everyone.
The artisans thank those of you who chase the base every single time.
And it's funny too, like as these new bases have come out and I've used them and learned how to work with them, it's made me appreciate some of the other bases that were before it a little bit more. Like Sterling, I think, is a great example where I didn't think it was an elite base or you know, top performing base. And then now that I've used a bunch of these newer bases where you have to push more water into it, and I go back and use Sterling again, it's like, oh, I was just not hydrating Sterling well enough to really know how to get the most out of it. And so I'm finding that like I'm appreciating other soaps differently than before. And as I've, you know, used more things, I appreciate the stuff I have. And, you know, that's just how experience kind of changes you. So,
yeah. Yeah. Having used Sterling, I picked up Campania recently and I'll use it intermittently, but you know, I don't know if monthly, maybe every month and a half or so, it'll wind up in the rotation. And I'm just, you know, I'm always just blown away each time. Besides the samples, I'll always kind of stick to that. Yeah.
More than chasing the base these days, I chase the artisan. I like to find the diamond in the rough, the new artisan that's coming along that nobody's heard about. So that's kind of the thrill of the hunt for me, is when I can find a new artisan nobody knows about. I love that. Or I love just, you know, finding products that people aren't appreciating because they haven't heard enough about, and they deserve a little bit more hype and recognition. So I really, you know, that really gets me going, is when I can find something like that. And as a Canadian, I kind of feel like I need to, you know, hold the Canadian artisans up a little bit and make sure that other markets know about them, because, you know, there's some awesome Canadian artisans doing some really cool stuff too. So that's the one base I'll chase, is that when a Canadian artisan brings out a new base, I'm all down. I'm picking it up as soon as I can. I want to try it and see what it is, because I think it's an opportunity for me to try and, you know, spread the love of those products down to the States. So
who would be, like, if you could name like two or three artisans, Canadian or otherwise, that are kind of under the radar, who would you include in that list?
Under the radar. McDuff was, but they're gaining traction big time of late. They've done a bunch of improvements and stuff, so more and more people are hearing about them. Highland Springs was kind of the best kept secret in the country, and that, I think that's changed quite a bit. I think a lot of people are using them now. Like Grandpa out of Edmonton, he doesn't fit with your typical enthusiast shave soap kind of feel, because his scents are all fairly straightforward. Like he has a sandalwood scent, and he has an orange scent and a spearmint scent, so he doesn't have a lot of scent things going on, and his base is fairly straightforward. It'd be kind of like a Martin Decandra, like it's a fairly straightforward base. But his aftershaves, he recently brought them out, and I think they're fantastic. And because they're straightforward in their notes, you can use any soap. And it's like, okay, I want a pair of sandalwood aftershave with it, because how many soaps have sandalwood as a note? So it allows you to, you know, pick up five different aftershaves that perform really well, and then you can pair them with, you know, 50 soaps. So I really like what he's doing. But I'm also friends with Ken. He's an awesome dude. So I like spreading the love of Light Grandpa when I can. Who else would be out there? True North Shaving is another one that not a lot of people know about. They've got a kind of a unique, couple of unique scents. They've got a bubblegum soap, which is kind of fun. So they'd be one. First Canadian, people are starting to hear about them quite a bit. So they've got a fantastic base. I think their base is, you know, it sits up there with any of the elite bases, and it's super easy to use. So I love that the word's getting out about them too. So yeah, those are kind of the ones that jump out at me at the top of my head.
Well, Jared, as we're wrapping things up for the episode, I'd love to hear any predictions you have for the for the coming year, into 2022. Where do you see, you know, some areas of wet shaving going?
Ooh, everybody is going to buy a lather bowl, probably two. I'm not sure. You know, the bases have gotten, they've done so much with them. I don't know how much more they can do with the bases, but then a year ago, I'd have said the same thing and we've seen what they've done. I think you're starting to see more artisans kind of go down the road of like professional packaging and things like that. You're starting to see some of the artisans get more penetration into other markets. So I think you're going to see, that's going to be a big thing is more, more expansion and more professional packaging, things like that. I think the other thing that that new Blackland Razor might be a bit of a game changer in 3D printing, 3D design, how CNC is becoming more affordable. I think you're going to potentially see some really cool things down the road, hardware wise. Just some smart people are going to do some really cool things. So, yeah.
I do like those. I like the sound of that. So, Jared, can you remind folks, and of course, we'll have all these in the show notes, but where can people find you? Feel free to plug anything, any drops coming down the pipeline.
Sure. You can find my website at thirstybadger.ca. I'm also on Instagram at thirstybadger.ca, other social feeds and all that stuff. Just hop on the website, go down to the bottom. You'll catch all my links there. Don't have any stock at the moment, but that's going to be changing real quick. I plan to have another drop here coming shortly. Best way to be notified is to sign up for the drop list on the website. No marketing material, just a message when we were about to do a drop. Last one we had was super popular. So if it goes the same, they'll go fast. We're doing a new product this time. We're doing lather bowls, but we're also doing some brush soakers is something new. So for those folks that don't like lather bowls and don't like fancy cereal bowls, we've got brush soakers for them this time.
Nice.
Brush plates.
Awesome. That sounds great. Gerard, same question to you. Any upcoming releases or tidbits you'd like to plug?
No, not at this time. I will definitely give my thoughts on the Pokeball as it makes its arrival. So you can get my thoughts on that. I'm gonna let you know, I already dig it. So, I think when it just, and this is something we should have talked about, earlier, but just when it comes to design and just how thoughtful, Jared, your bowls are, I think people, like you have the thumb hole, just so that, it doesn't slip out of your hand. It's very low profile so that the handle itself doesn't scrape against the rim of the bowl itself, as opposed to like other higher bowls and stuff like that. Very wide also so that you can, get good surface area and good coverage. Like those are just things that, I always wanted in a bowl, and it's nice to see someone as a hobbyist take those things and put this, really beautiful artisan product out there. So check them out. There's my plug for you. Okay.
Well, thank you very much. We always appreciate feedback, negative or positive. And so it's good to be able to pass on some positive feedback too. And we love hearing what people, how they like using their stuff and what works for them, what doesn't. And so that's kind of how we've adjusted our designs as we've gone, is stuff I like using, stuff other people have mentioned would make it better for them. And we've kind of taken those and put our spin on them. And that's where we got to where we are today.
Very awesome. And Jared, thank you for kind of giving some personal experience and details with the bowls from Jared. And yeah, so again, all the information will be in the show notes. Jared, I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of your weekend to speak with me and Gerard. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks. Anytime.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lather Talk. You can find all the links for the Thirsty Badger, Gerard, and myself in the show notes. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can help us out in two ways. First, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, consider leaving us a 5-star review. Second, if you're watching us over on YouTube, we'd love it if you hit that like button and consider subscribing to the channel so you won't miss future episodes. Thank you guys again, and we hope to see you next episode.